Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Right? Come on, come on. Anybody excited for the Super Bowl today? Three people. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not going to ask, you know, if you're a Rams fan or a Patriots fan. Here's the reality. I don't care who wins the Super Bowl as long as it's not the Patriots. Other than that, I don't care. And I'm not going to tell you who I'm rooting for. In case you're wondering what that is, that's a ram's horn. But a Christian somewhere, I don't know, they put weird names on it. They call it a shofar or something like that. But go Rams! Come on, somebody. I know we actually do have some Patriots fans here. I'm not going to point them out. I'm just praying for their soul. Turn in your Bibles today. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to a New Testament book. We're going to go to the book of Mark. If you want to do paper notes, we have those for you. Just raise your hand right now, and we got some paper notes for you. So keep your hand up. Ushers will come give you paper notes. We got some on this side here. If you don't want to continue to raise your hand every Sunday in church, you can actually pick those up at the info center on your way in. We have them sitting there. But in case you forget, we have some paper ones for you. If you like to take notes digitally, you can do that on our app, and you can simply text the word app to 858-943-2221. Now, something I need to highlight about our app. They are making an improvement on it. At least they tell us it's an improvement. But when they make this improvement over the next couple weeks, what's going to happen is it's going to reformat the notes in the app. And because of that, even though you might have the notes saved on your app, you will lose all those notes. All right, I know, I'm sorry. So here's what you need to do. If there's a particular one that you're like, man, I do not want to lose those notes, go to that message and click on the little email button and email those notes to yourself, all right? And then you'll have those saved. But if you don't do that in the next 7 or 14 days, you'll lose all those notes in the app. And then as we move forward, that shouldn't happen again. But because of this update, that's going to be taking place. So if there's some particular notes that you wanted from the app, you've been taking them there. How many of you guys take notes on the app? Anybody take notes? Okay, so quite a few of you. So make sure, if you want to email all of them, just click through the series and just email those to you, to yourself, and then you'll have those saved. And then as they make this update from there on out, it should not be a problem. But we're in a series entitled Renewed, in which we're looking at different ways that I just feel like God put on my heart that we need to be renewed as believers, as Christ followers. I've come to this realization that a lot of times it's not that we don't have any vision, it's that we just need the vision renewed. We've kind of lost sight of some things, or maybe it's not that we don't have purpose. You know, we started out on this spiritual journey and we see the purpose and the plan that God has for us. But along the way, how many of you guys know that life has a way of knocking the wind out of you, right? And sometimes you can lose sight of the purpose. And so we just need purpose renewed. Well, today I want to talk to you on the idea of renewed faith. Because I don't know if you're there yet. I don't know if you believe this yet, but I believe for you that God has an incredible plan for your life. Does anybody believe that this morning? God has an incredible plan, incredible purpose for your life. And if you don't believe that yet, I want to help get you there. But as you pursue that incredible life that he has for you, sometimes we just need renewed faith in order to obtain the incredible life that he has for us. And so I want to read to you a passage out of Mark chapter 9 as we discuss this idea today of renewed faith. Mark chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 14. Let me just catch you up to what's taking place right now. Jesus has disciples. These are the people that he chose that would be closely connected with him, that would then continue the work of the ministry that he started as he would one day go to the cross, die, and ascend to heaven. He left the disciples to then build the church and continue the preaching of the good news about himself. And when we pick it up in Mark chapter 9, what we're going to see here is that the verses previously to this, Jesus took a couple of his close disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he took them on a little staycation, if you will. He took them a little ways away from the rest of the disciples. They got away together, and the Bible says that Jesus was transfigured. What do you mean by that? Let me just put it in these terms. In that moment, it was made obvious to those disciples who he really was. Jesus was transfigured in front of them, has a meeting with a couple of people, and the disciples are looking on like, whoa, right? And they're tripping. They see this happen. The Bible actually says that Jesus' garments turned as bright as the sun, right? Pretty incredible. And so these three disciples that are there to witness that, so that when Jesus comes back down and the other disciples see that something visibly has taken place, these three disciples can testify about what happened as they got away together, okay? And so now they're coming down off the mountain, and they're coming to the rest of the disciples. And it says in Mark chapter 9, verse 14, when they came to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes disputing with them. This is a religious segment of people, and there's a little discussion going on between the disciples and these scribes. All of a sudden, when the whole crowd saw him, that's Jesus, they were amazed. Now, why were they amazed? Jesus has been around the crowds before. They've seen him before. The reason they're amazed is because there's something visibly different about Jesus now. Right? I don't know if his garments were still glowing like they were when they got away on the little staycation, but something has happened now to where they see him now and they see him differently, and they're completely amazed. And they ran to greet him. Then he asked them, "What are you arguing with them about?" Out of the crowd, one man answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid." Now, I know that some of you are like, "That describes my child." Now, as bad as it was being a parent, all right? No, as good as it was, none of us have seen this. What's happening? Apparently, the Bible is describing here a young person that has a demonic spirit. Seizes him and throws him down, he foams at the mouth, he grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. "So I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't." And he replied to them, "You unbelieving generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you?" How many guys would like Jesus to talk to you that way? Right? How long do I have to be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him to me. Now, I want you to see what's taking place here, because as I read it, it's my understanding that I don't believe Jesus was addressing the crowd. He was addressing his disciples. Because the guy says, "Hey, I brought him to your disciples," and they were unable to do anything about it. And now Jesus, because here's the thing, the world isn't at a place of belief yet. The world isn't at a place of understanding yet. I mean, we understand that Jesus loves the world. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son," that's Jesus, "to them." Jesus in this moment is not rebuking the crowd. He's rebuking his followers. Are you with me? And he's saying to them, "Come on, guys. Haven't you seen me doing some stuff? Haven't you been listening to my teaching? How long do I have to put up with you?" So they brought him to Jesus. And when the spirit saw him, it immediately convulsed the boy, and he fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked, "How long has this been happening to him?" The father responds, "From childhood." It's been happening for a long time. Are you catching that? This has been something that's been prolonged. It's been happening for a while. "From childhood," he said, "and many times he has thrown him into fire or water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Then Jesus said to him, and notice this is a question, not really a response, if you can? Hold on a second. Those are my disciples. This is me. Hello, glowing robe. Right? Like, bright as the sun. If you can. Everything is possible, listen to this now, to the one who believes. If you have your Bible, whether it's digital, I just underline that verse right there. Because that is a powerful verse. Everything is possible to the one who believes. Immediately the father of the boy cried out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw the crowd was rapidly coming together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Then it came out shrieking, "Rah!" That's a shriek. "And convulsing him violently, the boy became like a corpse, so that many said, 'He's dead.' But Jesus, taking him by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. After he went into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why couldn't we do that?' 'Well, I already told you why you couldn't do it. You unbelieving generation. You have no faith.' And he told them, 'This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting.'" Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray in the next few moments that we have together that, Lord, you would speak to us from this passage. That, God, each and every one of us would be encouraged as we walk out of here. God, our faith would be renewed. God, our faith would be restored. For those that walked in here this morning that maybe they don't even have faith yet, they've never met you, that they would meet you today. And they would walk out of here with a brand new outlook on their life. God, help me now in this moment. Create a space for people to encounter you, know your love, and understand the incredible plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. A lot of you know, and maybe some of you don't know, that my wife and I, for the last little while now, we've been building a house. And in our pursuit of building a house, we've been to probably every lumber place, every hardware place, every home place that is out there, looking for different things that we need in order to build this house. And so one of our go-tos has become Home Depot. Anybody ever been to Home Depot before? All right, you know, so that's been one of our go-tos. And you say, "Pastor, why are you going to Home Depot and not Lowe's?" Well, that is a great question. But typically, from, you know, my experience, Home Depot tends to be a little bit cheaper. And so, and plus it's real close to where we're building. And so we've developed this love-hate relationship with Home Depot, all right? Like we love it because they probably will have what we need, but at the same time, it's this love hate because when we go there, so many times we can't find what we're looking for, right? And it's not probably because they don't have it; it's just that when you ask the help, they have no clue where it's at. I got quiet in here. Now, if you work at Home Depot, forgive me, okay? But in my experience, since we've been building this house, more oftentimes than not, we will get to Home Depot. They've got to have what we're looking for, only to realize that when we go to the people, they can't get us to what we need. Are you with me? Matter of fact, just yesterday, because we're getting to that point of a building of our house where we're going to do siding. And you know, the stuff you put on the side of the house, thus it's called siding, yeah. And so we're picking out siding, like what siding we're going to put on. And so I had some questions about siding. And so I'm in the lumber siding area, and it's like three aisles, you know, like the distance of the whole entire, the three aisles. And I walk to the first one, I'm looking for the orange. Don't see anybody. Walk to the next, looking for the orange. Don't see him. I walk to the next one. I can't find anybody to help me. And so I just stand around looking like I don't know what I'm doing because I don't know what I'm doing. And so I'm standing at the end of the aisle, just kind of like, finally someone comes like,
"Three more weeks, people. Three more weeks. Praise Jesus.
And can I help you?" And I'm like, "Yes." I said, "I need help with siding." They're like, "Well, let us get Nick." And I'm like, "Sweet. Send Nick." And they call for Nick. And guess who doesn't show up? Nick. And so they're like, "Well, I don't know where Nick's at right now." And I'm like, "Me either." Like, "We'll get you Phil." And I'm like, "Okay, sweet. Does Phil know anything about this?" And they're like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "I don't believe you." And so Phil comes over and I start asking questions of Phil. And the reason I'm calling them Phil and Nick is because their names are Phil and Nick. And so I'm asking Phil and I'm like, "Hey, man, like, do you know much about siding?" He's like, "Yeah." Like, "Okay, I'm looking for the trim pieces you put on the corners for the siding." He's like, "Okay. Like this stuff right here." And I'm like, "No, bro, that's actual siding." He's like, "Oh, okay. Yeah, I think we used to sell that. Yeah, it doesn't look like we have it anymore." I'm like, "Really?
He's like, yeah, but here's what you want to do. Go to the pro desk. I'm like, okay. They should be able to help you out. I'm like, okay. I turn around. And as I turn around, two guys that were parked out over here with big carts with stuff on them all of a sudden pulled away their carts. And guess what was sitting right there? The trim pieces that I'm looking for. And I look back for Phil, and Phil is running the other way. Come on, somebody. I'm like, what's happening right now? Are you kidding me? And I'm like, wait, Phil, I found it. I got another question. Phil's gone. And so what do? I go to the pro desk to ask some more questions about the trim. But guess what? The guy that works the pro desk is sick that day. Are you feeling my pain yet? And so I go to the pro desk. They say, you need to go to customer service. And I'm like, where's that? They're like, other side of the store. I'm like, okay. So I go to customer service, and there's this sweet little girl there. I'm like, hey, I'm looking for trim pieces for siding. She's like, what's that? And I'm like, dear God. So we pull up the computer, and I'm like literally like helping her out type and search on her computer. And then she finally goes, you know what you need to do? You need to go to the lumber area. And you need to talk to Nick. I said, excuse me, ma'am, does Nick really exist? She's like, yeah, why do you ask? Well, no reason, I'll go find Nick. Well, we'll radio him for you. I'm like, sweet. And so I get over there, and guess who's standing there? Nick! And I go up to Nick, and at this point, I'll be honest with you, I'm spending an hour trying to figure this thing out. And at this point, I go up to Nick, and I'm like, hey, Nick. And he's like, yeah, are you the guy that I'm supposed to help? I'm just, yeah. I said, I just don't know if you can. And he said, why is that? No reason. But guess what Nick did? He helped me out. He helped me out. See, I was there so long, and after being there so long without anybody able to help me, I started wondering if the guy who could actually help me could really help me. And in Mark chapter 9, what you have is you have a guy that shows up on the scene. He came to the right place, and the Bible says he came looking for Jesus. But guess who wasn't on the scene? Jesus. And so what does he do? He hangs out in the church, and he goes to the disciples, and he says, hey, I don't know where Jesus is, but you're his followers, so maybe you can help me. But guess what? They can't help him. So now when Jesus comes down off the mountain with his other disciples, this guy is at a place where things have been prolonged so long that he is uncertain whether or not Jesus can really help him. Help him. Why did he get to this place? I'll tell you why he got to this place. Is because here he was in the right place, around the right community, in disciples that have been following Jesus. They should have been able to help, but they could not. And so now he's at a place wondering, can Jesus even really help me? Why is there this prolonging moment? I don't know about you, but it seems like in the spiritual journey, as you're pursuing Jesus, it seems like there's a lot of moments that are prolonged, doesn't it? Are you with me? It seems like oftentimes there is, hey, man, I go to church, and man, I'm worshiping Jesus, and I love Jesus, and I'm into the Bible, and I hear the messages, and I believe the messages, but yet there's this disconnect from what I hear and what I believe and what I really see happening in my life. There's this gap in between. There's this prolonging in between. I believe I can have a great marriage. I entered into this thing believing it was going to be awesome, but right now it's not. I started this new job because I felt like it was the place and the direction God led me to, but yet I'm not seeing what I thought I would see. I moved to this city, and I believe it was what God wanted for my life, but yet there's this gap. There's this prolonging. There's this stuff in between. I'm not really seeing it. Does anybody ever been there before? Why the prolonging? And this is just my opinion as I read scripture, and as I've been pursuing Jesus now for since I was 6 years old, is that the prolonging happens because God is not just into giving you the answer. He's into you pursuing the answer giver.
Because if all we do is go from I need this answer to I need this answer to I need this answer, we're missing the whole entire point. The point isn't getting the answer I need. The point is me getting into a relationship with the one that can continually give me the answers. And if we miss that, then we live from moment to moment. We live from miracle to miracle. Listen, I love moments and I love miracles, but it's not about the miracle. It's about the miracle giver. It's not about the message. It's about the messenger. It's not about us getting every answer we need. It's about us getting to a place where we know we can go to the one when we are in need. Are you with me this morning? And I believe these prolonging moments happen in our life. He was going to the right place. He was intending to meet Jesus. Jesus is not there, and so okay, I'm starting to lean toward. I just need an answer. Jesus shows up and says, "You don't need an answer. You need me." Are you with me this morning? He's at the right place. He's in the right community. How about you? You're at church. It's a good one. I like it. Preacher's pretty good. Worship team's amazing. How come they got louder cheers than I did? Ministry team's awesome. Come on. Here he is. He's in this place. The answer's prolonged. So when Jesus shows up, now listen to me, Jesus is so brilliantly bright that the people are like, whoa, and they run to him. Even the man goes, speaks his problem that he's having with his son. And Jesus is standing there. So Jesus, I brought him to you, but you're gone. And your disciples, they couldn't do anything for me. So if you can, could you heal him? And Jesus flips the script. And he says, if you can? Listen to what he flips it here. He says, everything is possible to the one who believes. See what he did there? The guy puts it on Jesus, and Jesus flips it and puts it back on the guy. Because it's never a question whether or not God can. It's a question whether or not you believe he can. Jesus flips it. He said, no. If you can? No. Hold on a second. No. Everything is possible to the one who believes. To the one who believes. And listen to what he says. I do believe. But could you help my unbelief? And right here is where I believe that so many of us live our spiritual journey. I believe in you, Jesus. I'm a part of a great church. I'm a part of a great community. I believe you can. I just don't believe you will. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I show up to Home Depot and I believe they have what I need. I just don't believe they have it for me. It's a conspiracy. And here he is and he's saying, look, I do believe. That's why I'm here. I came looking for you. I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe you can. I just am at a place where it's been so prolonged now. I don't know if you'll do it for me. Can I be honest with you today? How about you? Because I believe that's where so many of us live our life. Man, it's one thing for me to pray for a breakthrough for somebody else. It's another thing for me to pray for a breakthrough for myself. And as your pastor, I know that I've lived my spiritual journey there. Man, I love Jesus. There ain't no question about that. Man, I love the community. Man, I love being here. Man, my man, pray with one another and let's worship together. But if I'm honest with you, I believe he can. But sometimes in my walk, I just don't believe he will. I believe. But there's an area in my life, if I'm honest, I don't believe you will.
You will. Why does that happen? It happens because maybe like this dad, you've been dealing with something for a long time. Jesus asked the question, and there's a key in it. Hey, how long has this been happening? Jesus already knows the answer, by the way. How long has this been happening? Since he was just little. In other words, to make the statement, it's been happening a long time. And I believe there's some of you in here today as you, man, you love Jesus. Man, you're in church. I mean, you came to the right place. Man, this is a great community. This is a faith-filled community, man. We'll pray for you and believe with you. But if you're honest, you say, man, this has been happening a long time. I believe, but help my unbelief. Yeah.
See, faith, this trust, this hope, this belief that Jesus can and will is essential to the spiritual journey. Are you with me? The faith, the belief, the trust, the hope, not only that he can, but that he will, is so essential to your spiritual journey. How essential is it? It's so essential that the Bible says faith is what God is looking for. Faith is what God is looking for. In Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, there's a great story that proves the principle of prayer. And this story in Luke chapter 18 is about a woman. And this woman needs something done in her circumstance. And so the Bible says she goes to a judge. And the Bible says this judge is an unjust judge who doesn't fear God and doesn't even care. Remember, the Bible says doesn't even care about people. And she goes and request is denied. But the Bible says that she continues to go. And she continues to go, and she continues to go until the unjust judge grants her petition. But here's the key to it. Because in verse 8, it says this, and it brings it to a head. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man, that's Jesus, comes, that's his returning, will he find that kind of faith on the earth? In other words, to say, Jesus is looking for faith. He's returning and he's looking for faith. How important is faith? Faith is what pleases God. Our trust, our hope, our belief that he can and will, it's what pleases God. Hebrews 11:6 says, now without faith, it's impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. Faith is what he's looking for. Faith is what pleases him. Check this one out. Faith moves mountains. And listen, we're not talking about natural mountains. Although when the passage played out in real time, they were standing in front of a mountain. And he used the natural setting to describe a spiritual principle. Faith moves mountains. Listen to this verse. Matthew 17:20, for I assured you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, what's it saying? It doesn't have to be very big. Yeah. It can be small faith, but if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain, what's the mountain in your life? What's the circumstance that seems insurmountable? What's the relational challenge? What's the financial challenge? What's the health challenge? What is the mountain in front of you? If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to that mountain in your life, the Bible says. Move from here to there, and it will move. I love this part. Nothing will be impossible for you. Sounds a lot like what Jesus said to the man, doesn't it? Everything is possible to the one who believes. Listen to this one. Faith releases miracles. Faith releases miracles. In one particular story in Matthew 13:58, it says, and he did not do many miracles where he was at there because of their unbelief. What held back the miracles from happening? It was their lack of faith. It was their unbelief. So if we flip the script, the opposite is true, that if you have faith, it releases miracles. What about 2 Corinthians 5:7? Faith is how we walk. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is how we walk. It releases miracles. It moves mountains. It's what he's looking for. It's what pleases him. I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. So what happens? Where's our faith at? I believe that in the prolonging season, oftentimes our faith starts to wane. And what needs to happen is you just need your faith renewed. You just need your faith renewed. Let me just give you a couple things real quick as we bring this to a close. I've seen this to be true in my life as well as this passage right here. How is faith renewed? How is faith renewed? And this isn't the only way it's renewed, but these are a couple of things I've experienced in my life, real practical, but also I see here in this passage. Number one, be honest about where you are at. Be honest. Just admit it, right? I love what the Father does. He's honest. I believe. I just don't believe you will. I believe, but you, Jesus, I want this to happen, and I believe, but you got to help me here. You got to help my unbelief. What was he doing? He was being honest about the circumstance. He was being honest about the situation. He was being honest, not about the situation he was seeking the miracle for, but about his own present circumstance and situation. And listen, we just need to be honest about it. Now, I learned this principle a long time ago about just being honest in the circumstances and situations you're in. Man, just having an honest assessment about your life. Having an honest assessment. I remember actually it was a little bit ago now, but I learned the principle, and now we do it more often. We'd been married probably like 7 years, my wife and I. And I remember after church, we were coming home from church one day, and the message happened to be about marriage. And the whole entire time the pastor was talking about his own struggles and issues, I was just sitting there thinking like, man, my marriage is amazing. How in the world does he struggle like that? Marriage is easy. Those are my thoughts. And so we're driving home and we're talking about the message. And I just said, you know what, babe? I'm so glad we have an amazing marriage and ours isn't like some other people's. And there was no response. I mean, come on, that's a good place for your wife to say amen, right? That's a good place for your wife to say, oh, I know, baby, it's so great. And it was just quiet. I was like, maybe she didn't hear me. But I stopped and I said, you know, hey, babe, let me ask you a question. I remember we're sitting right in front of the garage. I said, hey, do you think our marriage is good? Anybody ever asked your spouse that question before? Do you think our marriage is good? And she looked and she goes, yeah, babe, it's good. But there's just a few things. Now listen to me. When your wife says a few things, it's one thing if a man says a few things. When a man says a few things, it means a few things. Two, three tops. When the wife says a few things, you better block out the rest of your day. You're laughing, but you know I'm right. And we had one of the most intimate, deep conversations. Real conversations. Because we were honest. Listen to me. You want to see God move in your life, and you want to see the awe-inspiring things. You do not have to fake it until you make it. You can be honest about where you're at. See, but I'll be honest, I came from a movement that was like faith it. They change it. Faith it till you make it. Yeah. And I learned something. That didn't work for me. Maybe it works for other people. I'm not knocking that, but it didn't work for this pastor. Yeah. What works for me is when I'm honest and real about what's actually happening. Yeah. And listen to me, I discovered a long time ago, God is not intimidated by your honesty. When you get in a place and you're just talking to him and say, God, you know what? Life really sucks right now. He's not like, you ungrateful son of the faith. I will smite you with my wrath. Maybe that's your experience, that's not mine. My experience is he's not scared of anything. And he wants us to be honest. Matter of fact, you know what? I think the world looking on could appreciate our honesty as well. Because to me, nothing looks more foolish than the ship is going down and yet you're standing on it like, we're okay. Ship's not going down. We're not going to die. Everyone else is looking like, I don't want any of what you're smoking, bro. Look, I'm a faith guy. You ask all those around me, like I can look at the worst of circumstances, situations, say, oh man, we're gonna make it. But we gotta be honest about it. But I think the world looking on would appreciate some honesty in the church. Say, man, things don't look good right now. My marriage, man, honestly, it's over unless Jesus. I don't know how this bill is gonna get paid unless God shows up and does a miracle. Right? Like, we just be honest. I love the fact that this guy was honest about his circumstance and his situation. Listen to me. Faith is not you denying where you're at and just staying like, okay, positive. Faith is you acknowledging the circumstance and the situation, being real about your assessment, and still going to the God who can. Are you with me? You want your faith renewed? Just be honest about where things are at. Matter of fact, get some people around you that you can be honest with. Let's call it a small group. Get some people around you and open up and say, man, this is where things are at. Now make sure they're people that got your back and got your best interest and are there for you and that'll pray with you. Because there's nothing worse when you open up and then they're like, yeah, I knew it. You're a loser. They might not use those words, but that's the way you walk away feeling, right? That doesn't happen in small groups here. Come on, are you with me? Be honest about it. Let me just give you two more. Band, go ahead and come on up because I need to shut down. Number two, you want your faith renewed? Press through the opposition. Press through the opposition. Now, I've come to realize it seems like when all of a sudden I get to that place where I'm honest and I'm getting ready for a ramp up and I'm getting ready for a new season and I'm getting ready for a new year and, man, this is going to be it. Come on, Exodus 34:10. God's going to do miracles. He's going to do something awe-inspiring and, man, you're getting ready and this is going to be awesome. And all of a sudden, opposition. Why is that? Because as much as there is a real God, a real Heavenly Father, that has an incredible plan for your life, there is a real enemy resisting that plan. You got to press through the opposition. You got to press through the opposition. Dude didn't throw in the towel when the disciples couldn't do it. He stuck around. He didn't know that Jesus was returning. He didn't know that Jesus was going to come off that mountain and have the answer. He came there looking for Jesus, did not find Jesus. When the disciples couldn't do it, he didn't pack his bag and go home. He stuck it out. He stuck it out. That's what I love about a church community, is that we're just going to stick it out. We're just going to press through some challenges. We're going to press through some obstacles. We're going to press through some difficulties. We're going to press through some pressure that's coming against us. And man, you know what? As we press through the opposition, come on, I believe the answer is on the other side. I believe Jesus is going to show up in your world just like Jesus showed up in his world. Listen to me. He came looking for the right thing. Disciples couldn't do it. He's already discouraged. How do we know he's discouraged? Because when Jesus comes back, he's still at a place of like, I believe, but I don't believe you will. But I'm not going to let that stop me from pressing through. Listen to me. You need to hear this today. Some of you are on the verge of the biggest breakthrough in your life. Some of you are on the verge of the greatest miracle you've ever seen. Some of you are on the verge of the most healthy marriage you've ever thought possible. Some of you are on the verge of that business breaking through and going to the next level. There's challenges that have been in front of you. But listen to me, if you just hold on and you just press through, I'm telling you, Jesus is going to meet you like Jesus met this man. And you can be honest. Faith's renewed when you're honest. Faith's renewed when you press through the opposition. And lastly, faith is renewed when you trust his word. faith is renewed when you trust His word. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You are about ready to get there. You're about ready to experience, come on, your greatest breakthrough. Now is the time to get the word more than ever in your spirit. Come on, don't be discouraged. Press through it today. Get the word of God in you. Come to church. Listen to the podcast. Open up your Bible. Get a devotional. Meditate on the word of God day and night. The word came to this man. If you can, Here's the word. Everything is possible to the one who believes. And he grabs hold of that word. And his son is healed. Are you holding on to his word today? Listen to me. When things don't look clear here, things always look clear through the lens of his word. When you're walking through the season and it seems difficult, when you're walking through the season and it seems like you're not going to rise up and you're not going to overcome and you're not going to find what you're looking through, we don't walk by our present circumstances, we walk by faith. And the greatest lens of faith is called the Bible. It's the Word of God. Do not hold on to your past. Do not hold on to your circumstance. Hold on to the Word of God. And no matter what you're walking through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're dealing with, I'm telling you, faith will begin to rise up inside of you, because if He did it here, He can do it again for you. God, if you set him free here, you can set me free today. God, if you heal that man's son, you can heal my circumstance and my situation today. I'm holding on to the word of God. God, we thank you so much, God, for your word today. God, we thank you that your word is life-giving. Go ahead, church, stand to your feet today. God, we thank you that your word is life-giving. God, I pray that right now that you'd renew the faith of Canvas Church. God, as a community, as we look to make this jump from this theater, Lord, into our very first permanent facility, God, and we're looking at the circumstance of $109,000. God, we are not looking at the natural, but God, we're looking at a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We're looking at a God who said, the one who believes, everything is possible. Hallelujah. So Lord, I pray that today, not only for us as a community, but Lord, for us as individuals, the mountains that are in front of us, the challenges that we are facing, God, I pray that faith would be renewed today in the prolonging season. God, that faith would be renewed today, and we would lay hold of that for which you, Christ Jesus, have laid hold of us, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Hey, I'm going to be up here for a little while longer. If you need prayer for anything, I'd love to pray with you, pray for you. Some of the pastors, small group leaders will be here. Other than that, God bless. Have an amazing day. Go Rams. If you're a Patriots fan, I'm sorry. I'll be praying for you on Monday. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.